Adam, are you handling the final agenda item? Let's brief everyone up on the great successes with the biological sampling program.
A little later than I thought, but we'll make do.
We can blame the Habitat Management Division.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Kenyon, and although you don't see me up here very much, I have been here with the agency for almost 6.5 years now. In addition to working on the artificial reef program, as Alicia said, one of the other projects that I manage is the biological sampling program. So I've been asked to come in front of the associate commissioners and commissioner today to just give you a little background on what the program is and why it's important, so you're aware of some of the other projects going on here at the division. So this was originally called the Stock Assessment Program. We got funding in 1988 from the General Assembly, so there was a lot of planning in late 1988, early 1989 for a pilot program. During that time, 30 years ago, it was originally started by our very own Rob O'Reilly, 30 years ago. It's a very successful program. It's a very long-term program. Overall, the objective 30 years ago was to improve the available fisheries information by compiling and maintaining a historical database of fish that are here in Virginia. We've been able to do that, and with collecting this information, we're able to do better management here in Virginia. We're able to do better assessments here in Virginia. So what do we collect? There's a list of species right there that we collect. So you'll notice that a lot of these species are species that are commercially important to the area. A lot of these species are interjurisdictional species, which go across state lines that we're sampling not only in this state, but there's also samples in other states that are going on. So how does this program really work? I'm the benefit of three really good technicians. All of them have been working on this program for almost 10 years each. So I have one that pretty much mans the area from Gloucester north up to Northern Neck, one that mans the area from Gloucester down around to Hampton area, and then one that does Virginia Beach all the way up into Chincoteague. So their goal is to sample these species spatially, so throughout all the areas, temporally, so throughout every season, and then throughout every gear type that they encounter. So what does this look like in the end? Those three technicians collect somewhere around 3,000 samples every month, so that equals out to almost 30 to 40,000 fish that they are going throughout Virginia and sampling on an annual basis. So somewhere along the line, in 2007, we initiated another project where all our sampling beforehand had been really commercial-based. There was a data gap in some of these species that are still very important to Virginia, but really were only being targeted mostly by that recreational community. So in 2007, we initiated what we call the Freezer Project, or the Marine Sport Fish Collection Project. It's funded by grants through Virginia Saltwater Recreational Fishing Development Fund, commonly called the Recreational License Fund, which Dr. Neal alluded to earlier. That funding comes from the federal excise tax on fishing, boat, and tackle. This is a very small portion. We can get by with almost about $10,000 a year and make that last for a few years. Essentially, what this program does is it puts freezers at high traffic recreational areas, boat ramps, launches, things like that, where after people actually go out and catch the fish, they can donate their used carcasses to us, and we can get length information off that fish. We can still get age information off that fish. And in exchange, what we give them is a reward for participating in the program. So you can see one of the rewards we give out right here is a T-shirt. This is one of the new T-shirt designs that we've commissioned. We try and keep them fresh every couple years, try and keep people donating to the program. You can see a list of species there on the left that we are looking for donations. You know, you can't walk into a commercial fish house and try and sample a cobia. It'd be too expensive. But this route, we almost get a free donation. But it costs about $10 a fish between T-shirts, between mailing that out, between supplies. So it's well worth the money that we're getting. One of the nice things about this recreational project is that recreational anglers have the ability to directly impact the number of samples and the species focus in which we have as a division. One of those examples is cobia. As the interest of cobia has gone up over the last few years, you can see that the number of donations, the number of samples, the better age data we have for this species has skyrocketed over the last 4 or 5 years. So the more fish are in the area, the more effort on these, the more samples we can get, the better data we can get from this. So the other part of this program is aging these fish. So we have length information, we have weight information throughout the entire bay. In 1998, we started a cooperative agreement with Old Dominion University. That's where our aging lab is held. And that is where all these hard parts go in order to be aged. So that gives us the other part of the puzzle for us as fisheries managers. So what's nice is now we have the ability to follow these cohorts or these ages from the time they're born into the population to the time they leave in the population. So we can follow them throughout time with all these ages. You can see right here on the screen, you're looking at a picture of cobia otoliths, and what they'll do is those are ear bones that kind of grow inside of the fish. They grow with annulings, much like trees. So when they section them and stick them underneath the microscope, you can see all those little lines kind of going up here. Not great on your screen, really good on mine. Grow like annulings on a tree. You can, there's about 25 rings on there if you can really see it. So ODU has come up with a great thing. If you ever get bored, go ahead and check out their website. They have information where you can just kind of, hey, I caught a 52-inch cobia. How old is it? And they'll give you an age range based on the last 20 years of what they age is, what they think that probably would be. They've done stuff where you can estimate sample size. How many fish do I need to age to get an accurate sample size for this? How big is my fish going to grow? How do we share information with our agency? So ODU has been a great partner in this since 1998, great staff to work with, and they've really produced a lot of products that are good for the public and good for the industry in general. So what's the benefits of this project? Why do we keep it going? Well, it's been going for the last 29 years. We have a historical database of finfish in the area for the last 29 years. Many of you know the mandatory reporting project started back in 1993. So we have a lot of information on what everyone is harvesting. So this is the other piece of the puzzle. Not only what are they harvesting, but what does that look like? It allows us to comply with fisheries management plans. A lot of the interjurisdictional plans require us to actually go in and have a certain amount of samples for each species, so this program complies with that. It allows us to have improved stock assessments. Some of you are really basic stock assessments just take into account how much harvest is being taken. Some of your more complex models are age-based models, so you can actually follow these fish throughout its life cycle, throughout time. And so the more samples we get, the better age data we get, the more complex models we can do, and the better management we can do. This also is a great opportunity to cooperate with industry. I mentioned that I have three fantastic technicians. Part of the reason they are great is because they have the ability to go into these fish houses on a daily basis and interact with industry, with the buyers, with the watermen, setting up the networks. They really are boots on the ground as far as a go-between between what we're doing in the office as fisheries managers and what's actually happening dockside. Future plans, one of the nice things about this program is we have the ability to expand, we have the ability to adapt. If more, some species are becoming more important, if another fisheries management pops up, we have the ability to kind of change what we're sampling, where we're sampling, how we're sampling. One of the instances, we've got a small one-time grant come up for blue crab sampling. So we've gone out and we've sampled seasonal blue crabs from August 2016 all the way around through July 2017. So we get a small shot of blue crabs, which isn't originally in ours. We do some genetic work. We'll have agencies all the time come to us and say, hey, do you come across monkfish? Sure, we don't sample monkfish, but we see them. So we have the ability to do some monkfish stuff as well. I guess the overall, you won't really see this program come up in front of you at all. Although we'll come up here really and talk about, hey, we need to make changes to this program. You guys don't need to vote on this. But you're going to see many of these species come up. There's going to be stock assessments that come in front of you. There's going to be size limits. There's going to be bag limits. There's going to be season restrictions. Well, all those management tools that we use, it's all part of it. One of the tools that we use is this biological data that we're collecting. So although you might not see this in the forefront, it's kind of in the background. It's kind of the important data that is leading you to help make these decisions. So when you are trying to make these season limits on flounder, these bag limits on flounder, this biological data, how old the fish is, when it reproduces, that all goes into that management decision. So that's why they kind of wanted me to come in front of you today, because all the management decisions you guys make comes back to a lot of this information that we're collecting in the field, so it's important to know where it comes from and how we collect it. And that was my kind of quick one to go, since we're running late. Does anyone have any questions about the program, how it operates, anything in general?
What department Old Dominion handles that?
It's the Center for Quantitative Fisheries Ecology. The lab is run by Dr. Jones and also Hank, who's been there quite a long time, as long as Jessica Gilmore.
Thank you.
Adam, thank you. That was very informative.
Thank you.
And you guys all do very good work here. You guys are kind of like the cornerstones of the work that we end up doing here on the backside of the horse. I believe that brings us to the end of the agenda. Is there anybody that has anything for the good of the order? I want to thank you all for an excellent day's work and for your endurance. The meeting is adjourned.